Summer, Little League, Pee Wee football, pickup basketball, soccer leagues. Oh, and the sound of loving parent coaches.
I only want winners out on the field. Who's a winner? I said, who's a winner? Everyone's hand should be up.
I am.
Okay, everyone bring it in. Who are we?
Tigers.
What?
Tigers.
All right, let's break someone's clavicle on three. One, two, three. Break someone's clavicle. Hit the field. Let's go.
Will Ferrell playing a familiar parent-coach character in the movie Kicking and Screaming. Are parents and coaches the buzz killers for kids who just want to have fun on the court or the field or the rink? Jay Atkinson thinks so. He's a writer, coach, and parent and runs the Methuen, Massachusetts Fun Hockey League. And he says it's time for parents to move over, shed their trophy obsessions or going pro ambitions, and enjoy childhood just as much as their kids enjoy playing games.
You know, I think one need only attend a Pee Wee hockey game to realize that Jean-Paul Sartre was right when he said hell is other people. And you can occasionally hear and see things being said to children at a sporting event, at a sporting forum, that wouldn't be said in a classroom. And when you look at it, the after-school activities of sports is also part of the formative experience of a child, so we should take those equally seriously. And you see parents much more passionately and sometimes negatively invested in the sports part of their child's life than the education part of their life, which I find fascinating and troubling at the same time.
You know, we're often told that sports is a great way to learn maturity and to learn collaboration and camaraderie, but as you write, the combination of competition and kids at this age can be an utterly toxic mix, especially when there's a toxic parent lurking nearby.
Yeah, and one of the things I'm saying in this essay is right-thinking adults should take heed of this, and that there are three elements in particular that I think are things that we need to pay close attention to. That is single sport specialization, encouraging your child to play one sport 11 or 12 months out of the year. That's destructive to the child's physical growth, emotional growth. They get fatigued with the sport. Their growth plates don't develop properly because they're subjecting their limbs to the exact same, say, throwing motion in baseball, so it can affect their health going forward. There's also the privatization of youth sports. There was a parent that approached me in my hockey program and asked me what I thought of this private program that was being run in an adjacent like community. And the name of the program was Pro Ambitions. And this was supposed to be a youth program. And I was just horrified. They said, "Would you think I should put my child in this? It's very expensive, but they have all these high-level professional coaches." And I said, "I really don't think you should put your child in there. I think you should put your child in a variety of activities. And having a child's activity with that name doesn't sound like it's heading in the right direction to me." And then the third thing I touched on in the essay is I think what is absolutely wrong, particularly with prepubescent athletes, is that they're subjecting them to ranking and cutting them from teams. Like, in other words, they're trying out at age 6 or 7, and they're being told they're not good enough for that team. And that's absolutely wrong. So these are the things that I think we should all be thinking about.
And the ranking stuff really bears on the statistics that most kids really bail out of these high-pressure sports programs, something that certain coaches and parents look at as great. We're weeding out the low-quality performers when, in fact, we're losing the benefit of participation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you look at the childhood obesity studies, if you look at the amount of screen time that kids are no longer playing in the neighborhood or shooting baskets with their neighbors, they're on their phones, their iPads, and their other electronic devices. The fact that you're creating this competitive environment among very young athletes and therefore discouraging many of them from participating beyond, say, the age of 14 or 15. When you look at that carefully and you think of 45 million kids under the age of, say, 15 playing youth sports, and as many as 80% of those are dropped out of the sport they're playing or sports they're playing by age 15, that's affecting the social fabric. So it is troubling to me in that sense.
Can you give me an example of some young person who you encountered at one of your leagues who really had kind of bought the line on this highly competitive, my dad wants me to win at all costs, this kind of great Santini mentality
yeah.
that you had to really help them to get to a different place?
That's an interesting question because there's like an unintended category mistake built right into that question, because I've never in 20 years of coaching and before that playing for years in different sports encountered a child who bought the lie. It's only the parent that buys it. I've never had a kid come to me and say, you know, gee, I'm not playing enough hockey. I think I should be playing in the summer. It's always the parent that comes to me. The kid's rolling his eyes in the background thinking, I think I'd like to just go play ping pong with the kid next door. That's the thing. I mean, some of the parents are just deluded. They're not reading the studies. They're not listening to reason. I do get about 10 or 15 parents approach me towards the end of the Methuen Fun Hockey League season each year and ask me for my advice. And I can see them tuning me out as soon as I start telling them what I think they should do, which is, no, I don't think their child should play spring hockey. And no, I don't think their child should play summer hockey. I think they should do other things for all the reasons we just discussed. And I know that half of them are not asking me for my advice. They're asking me for validation of the decision they've already made, and I'm not going to give it.
What do you say to a parent who says, hey, Jay, we all can't win, all right? It's a tough world.
I mean, I think that it's not the focus on winning, say, at the high school level, that's the problem. It's the focus on winning at the peewee and mite level, say, just using hockey as an example, which is the problem. Because there's always one or two kids that are ahead of the other kids for in coordination and strength and speed, and the coach keeps putting that kid on the ice more than the other kids, and the other kids get bored because the little superstars out there all the time. And those kids who might spurt up after puberty and become real hockey players, they're the ones that drop out. And that's the parenting and coaching conundrum right there.
Jay Atkinson, Boston University lecturer and writer who runs the Methuen Fun Hockey League and the Skate and Read program. Jay, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Don Henley's Boys of Summer, yes, long time ago, 1984. We'll talk about the music to look forward to this summer. That's coming up next on The Takeaway. Stay with us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.